والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear respected viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is my pleasure to welcome you to a new episode of your program, The Nobles. The nobles are giants. Giants who have produced great knowledge, who have produced great morals, who have contributed abundantly to the extent that you get lost in terms of describing them. There are many aspects in their lives that deserve to be presented, talked about, commented upon. But no matter what we do, speaking about them is not enough. They have to be part and parcel of our lives. They have to be present, not with their names and ourselves and our children, but with their good deeds. The Nobles is a program that aims to bring the lives of those people into yours. This episode is a continuation of a previous one that we had about the great companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sixth person to become a Muslim after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the honest shepherd that Allah transformed his life from an ignorant young boy to be one of the great scholars of Islam, a person who chose to be very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he became, as some of the companions mentioned, as if he was a member of his family. He realized that this is the source of knowledge. He saw one miracle taking place in front of his eyes, but he was a miracle himself. He was one of the great miracles of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prophesied long time ago that this boy will be a learned, educated boy. Allah made him educated. Not only educated, but a scholar that the whole ummah would benefit from. Some might raise the question, even among the Sahaba, they said, how could such a man gain such great knowledge? How could he be so scholaristic in his own presentations? How was he able to memorize these surahs of the Quran? How was he able to report these tens of hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give him permission to come to his house when everybody else would be rejected. He was present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking knowledge, devoting his time to the knowledge that he would receive from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we are away looking for our business. This is a man that with his closeness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam invested his time in the best way, to the extent that would determine to you, would really tell us about the love and the place that he occupied in the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, if I would make an Amir for the Muslims without a shura, it would have been Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And it was reported that he was saying, and many of the companions were saying, hold fast to the covenant of Ibn Abd, of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Because this man was very serious in being very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left everything, though some of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from among those who immigrated from Mecca to Medina, they sustained themselves through doing business because they were businessmen in Mecca. And some of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the Ansar, Aus and Khazraj, who lived in Medina, were taking care of their farms. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Hurairah, and many others were present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gaining from his knowledge, following his example. That some of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "We have never seen a man who is so close to the actions and the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Ibn Mas'ud. And who would ever like to learn about how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived, he should be following the example of Ibn Mas'ud." Abu Musa al-Ash'ari once was asked, and you know Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he was one of the great companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the greatest scholars of Islam. People would come and ask him for a fatwa, for a verdict in Medina. And he would say, "How come you ask me?" People said, "Whom shall we ask if we don't ask you? A person of your type should be a guide for us." He said, "Don't ask me while Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is available in Medina." Umar said, "This man is full of knowledge." He didn't say full of money. He didn't say full of anything, but he was full of knowledge. And people need each others, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. Those are the people who bring guidance to the Ummah. Those are the people who have been blessed by the bounties of Allah, that instead of devoting their time in vain, they spent it in investing for this Ummah. Islam is not preserved in the books only. Quran is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not preserved in the books only, but in the hearts of men, in the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. People who were ready to sacrifice a large portion of their wealth, of their time, to seek knowledge. Many of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, I think Zayd that we talked about last time mentioned, although Zayd and Ibn Mas'ud remembered for their own knowledge of the Quran, Ibn Mas'ud is different in the sense that he was one of the great memorizers of the Quran as well as Zayd, but Zayd was a writer, a scribe of the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud didn't know how to write because he never been to a school. He was never been to a school where he would learn how to read and write. But that did not prevent him from seeking knowledge, from being close, very close to the source of knowledge, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That made him among the prominent and the greatest companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all of us remember until the Day of Judgment. His tribe, Hudayl, has become honored that his name is mentioned in history books, on the tongues of people, in all languages. People know Abdullah ibn Mas'ud by being close to the Prophet, by being oppressed for the sake of Allah, by being the first person who would declare the words of Allah in public. Words that elevated him, words that worked magic with him, that he devoted all his life to it. And I hope all of us would really find a space for Quran in our hearts, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "A heart that does not have anything of the Quran, it's just like a deserted home. And if Quran, if your heart is a deserted home, means that it is full of vacuum. It is empty. It is empty of guidance. It is empty of truthfulness. It is empty of knowledge. If your heart is full of stories, of poetry, of songs, then really your heart is like a deserted home, because you have deserted Iman and the Quran.
I begin in the name of the righteous with the greetings of the people of paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Wal awwal wal akhir. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Uni astajib lakum.
A strange emotion that I had never felt before.
How would it be a real Muslim following the Prophet, peace be upon him?
I believed.
Right in Islam, Islamic solutions.
And the relics and the name remained.
Whatever you do when you start it, don't stop.
Huda. Satellite channel. Your minaret of knowledge. A distinguished bouquet of programming excellence.
For all the praise that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the uneducated shepherd that Allah nominated to be among the great scholars of Islam, received from the great companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, like Umar, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and many, he was very humble. He felt he had a lot that he should do for the sake of this deen, for the service of the Prophet that he believed in, and saw the miracles taking place in front of his eyes, to the extent that in the battle of Tabuk, when the Prophet ﷺ went into Ghazwat Tabuk, and one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ died, his name was Abdullah Dhul Bujadain, and the Prophet ﷺ laid that man into his grave. He looked at him and he said, "Oh Allah, I spent this night pleased with Abdullah ibn al-Bujadain. So Allah, be pleased with him." Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the humble, great companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, raised his hand and said, "I never wished that I die but that night. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make such a dua for me." Now, brothers and sisters, among the viewers, and my brothers in the audience, let's look at some of the words of wisdom that this man uttered. They only come after a long time of experience. A sage, a giant scholar, would give you his experience in very few words. He said, "I hate to see a man jobless, wasting his time, not doing anything for his life or for afterlife." Somebody might say, "I don't have a job," but you could learn Quran. It is the greatest job. The problem is, you find people sitting in their homes say, "We don't have a job. We have degrees, but we don't have jobs." Have you ever thought of Quran to be your job? It is the best job you can do. Have you thought of propagating this deen? Allah will bring you a job. But we think of jobs in terms of how much we could earn from these jobs. A job that we don't earn money from is not worthy of spending time for. But the greatest thing we could do is learning Quran. Being in the presence of Allah, reading His words. Whenever you have free time, it should be spent wisely. With Salah, with reading Quran, with reading about the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, visiting relatives, doing extra good deeds, inviting others to Islam. And he said also, the best of wealth is that of the heart. The best of wealth is that of the heart. If your heart is empty of goodness, you are not expected to do good. If you're not satisfied with Allah, with what Allah has given you, you will never feel wealthy. If you're not satisfied with the health that Allah has given you, then you will never feel that you're healthy enough to do anything. Your heart is empty. He also said, the best of sustenance is taqwa. خير الزاد التقوى. Piety. Piety does not mean only fear of Allah, but observance of Allah. It is the best sustenance. When you're sustained with taqwa, with the observance of Allah, loving Allah to the extent that you feel ashamed doing anything that would displease Allah, then you have gained the great wealth. This is the greatest sustenance. He said, the worst kind of blindness is that of the heart. The worst kind of blindness is that of the heart. He's speaking the Quran when Allah said, أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they have hearts that are sealed? You could have eyes. لَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. You could have ears. You could have eyes. But they are not of benefit to your heart. If your heart is benefiting from what you see, then your heart will change your life. If you're benefiting from what you hear, because everything that you see would affect your heart. Everything that you hear would affect your heart. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking us to safeguard our eyes, not to look at things and people that Allah has ordained us not to look at. Because whatever you see will affect your heart and mind. Sometimes if these pictures will stay with you, would affect your life forever. Also what we hear, if you listen to evil sayings, to music, to evil words, to backbiting, your heart will be affected. This man speaks out of wisdom. His great knowledge is summarized in his words. He also said, the worst of sins is lying, is to lie. And he is not speaking out of himself. As a matter of fact, he was following the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and echoing them in a different way. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the mu'min, the true believer, does he steal, does he do this and that? Everybody of us could do evil, but there is an open door for repentance. But lying is an evil act, that when somebody gets used to it, he will be called kadhab in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you don't want to be labeled as a liar in front of Allah. And this is why those people, even Abdullah himself, was very hesitant. Feels the great responsibility of speaking anything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was afraid to lie. Those who would lie to people could lie against Allah and against his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a characteristic that a woman, a Muslim, man and woman should really observe. Especially when we bring our children. Sometimes we think, we call it a white lie. There isn't a white and a black lie. It is a lie. And children pick up these lies fast. This is basically the final words of Ibn Mas'ud, that at the end of this episode, before we get into the floor, we remember how much perseverance he showed for the sake of Allah. How much he spent in seeking knowledge. how he made use of his knowledge, how the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized him for his knowledge. Though Abdullah ibn Mas'ud didn't stay in Medina, didn't stay in Kufa, he went into jihad as well. He was among the people who were found in Yarmouk. Anyway, he ended his life ended in Medina in the year 32 of Hijrah, and he was buried in Al-Baqi'. That time he was 63 years old, so he was quite young during the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore he was able to gain greater knowledge. Young people have a greater responsibility in acquiring as much knowledge, profitable knowledge, knowledge that when they grow older and wiser could produce to others. Not the type of knowledge that you hide from your children and your grandchildren. I'll leave the floor for you to ask your questions, to make your comments about this great personality, about issues that might be raised in terms of what is related to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And I think we start with Brother Marwan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I wanted to know how to benefit from the experience we heard now and the lessons we can take in our lives to teach to our next generation and to our community and lives and families.
Excellent question. It is not how much knowledge we gain. It is how much we practice out of that knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ was the most knowledgeable. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about his morale, his character, she said, don't you read the Quran? For people who didn't see the Prophet ﷺ, you know, Aisha overlived the Prophet ﷺ for a long period of time, more than 40 years she lived after the Prophet ﷺ, and she was spreading the knowledge that she received from the Prophet ﷺ. And all the time people would like to find out, how did the Prophet ﷺ act? She said to them simply, كان خلقه القرآن. His character was based on Quran. And therefore, the knowledge that we don't benefit from is not real knowledge. And this is why many Muslims have knowledge even about the Quran. And they only do that to gain materialistic gains. When it comes to their actions, the way they behave, it's completely different. And this harmful knowledge that really would distract non-Muslims even from seeking knowledge about Islam, from accepting Islam. This will make the end of this episode about this great companion, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu.